direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are this week on Abounding Grace, continuing our study on the Spirit-filled family, and particularly now as we have looked at the problems of the Christian man, and we've looked at the challenges that the woman has faced in both of these, the women and the men, since the fall. Today and this week, I want to now apply everything that Scripture says to call us back to the way and design that the Lord has given. When God gave Adam over to the consequences of his sin, remember what he said in the garden. Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree, which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. God didn't begin with Adam by saying, just because you ate the tree. He says, because you listened to your wife and then ate the tree. So this is a really important thing that the Lord is exposing here. The sin at the garden that the Lord exposes is Adam's complete abandonment in leading his wife. He abandoned his headship. Remember, and if you struggle with the headship principle, this is all over the Bible. 1 Corinthians talks about just as Christ is head over the man, so the man is head over the woman. There is a headship principle that the Lord has put into place right at the beginning at creation. Well, man abandoned his wife. And we looked in some depth at the curse last week, that God had enacted a curse upon the ground so that man was hit hard in that responsibility he was given to provide for his family. So what we saw play out in Genesis is the man being given over to the very thing that he chose. Now, Romans tells us that the last Adam came to do what the first Adam did not. Any motivation has to come from an understanding. Any motivation to change has to come from an understanding of the Christian gospel. We studied the mess last week. How do we even begin to clean this up? Well, you go to the one who did clean it up. Remember what Jesus said about his father. In John chapter 17, Jesus said, "The time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." I'm really moved by this because when you come to this sort of these sort of descriptions of the Father and the Son in the Trinity, it's provoking the question, what haven't people understood about the Heavenly Father? Well, it's a lack of knowing the Father. What is he really like to me? You ever question that? The reason that I'm going here is because any sort of path of return for earthly fathers to love as God the Father has called us to love, we have to understand how he has loved us. Jesus is saying you have to understand how the love of the Father has been to you. John 17 verse 2, "I pray that you would give eternal life to as many as you have given me." And again, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Does Jesus have to continue to pray that way? Does Jesus have to pray, "Oh Father, accept them"? Jesus doesn't have to continually go to his Father and ask that the Christian would be supported and accepted, as if when he sins, that the Father is blazing hot and that the Son has to just go and sort of calm him down. Jesus here, dear listener, is telling us something about the Father. The Father is not uninvolved with his children. The Father has not wound up this world and then left things to happen by chance. The Father is not a cruel tyrant waiting to chop off our heads in hell. The Father was not unconcerned about your choices in life. The Father's love for you was so great that he did what? He not only pursued you, but he initiated all the love any Christian has ever known. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. The Father never abandoned his commitments and promises to his family. Can you imagine if he did? Imagine if he gave up on you. You imagine if he didn't care what you were involved with. Can you imagine what it would be like to have a heavenly Father who was in control of everything, who didn't care about his family's priorities, and his pursuits having absolutely no care at all? The Father doesn't run and abandon us. Maybe you've had an earthly father who has been totally negligent in his God-given responsibilities to you. Jesus is saying you need to meet and you need to understand how great the love is of the heavenly Father. What have you received from, as James calls him, the Father of lights, your maker, your creator, who knows you? The Father has not been self-centered, has he? But ultimately, what did he do? He gave. He sacrificed his greatest treasure. Jesus is saying, I don't have to pressure my Father to be gracious. I don't have to convince him to be merciful. On the basis of my going away and the cross, it's done. You pray in my name, says Jesus. You have direct access to the Father. He will hear you because the Father loves you. He gave his only begotten Son that you might become sons of the living God by adoption. God the Father implies that we have an intimate family that we belong to. We are called sons of God, Christ the elder brother. We are adopted sons because of Christ the eternally begotten Son bringing us in as sons. Now then, it's in the Son that we see the Father. That's what Jesus said. Christ is the image of the Father. So you see then in the Trinity, everything with regard to how we are to function in our own roles and responsibilities are best understood when we understand the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. While the Father and the Son are distinct, Jesus is not a Father in relation to the Trinity. What did Jesus say about himself? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And even further, Adam was the father of the human race. Christ is the father of the new race born to him. The point is that since the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father, here we clearly see what the Father is like through the work of the Son. He shows us the Father, as Jesus said. Now here's the thing. Here's the point today. And this is where I'm going with this. You know, in a day of, as we considered last week, radical feminism, in a day of the abandonment of roles, in a day when husbands are not leading, it's important to say the kind of man who loved this way, Jesus Christ, gave himself in such sacrificial love that he promoted and brought about the response of his bride, the church. What was this man like? What was Jesus Christ like? Well, comes here, absolutely refuses to take his seat in Jerusalem. He was a servant. He didn't come throwing around his power, did he? He didn't come telling everyone how great he was. He didn't try to get the highest seats nor wear the best robes. In fact, this man made himself a servant, bending down to wash the feet of sinners. This is a man. He worked hard with his hands. Before his public ministry, he was a carpenter. He worked with wood. He gave himself to provide for others. He was a man. And through his ministry, he cared for people. He had appointments to keep. He had to do the will of his Father and not depart from it. He was honest. He was hardworking. He was pure. He was trustworthy. He had compassion. At the death of a loved one, he wept. He was a man. And oh, did he care for the truth. He was not passive. He was not about peace at all costs. He was about the honor of his Father's name and the protection of his bride, the church. In fact, one day he saw the house of the Lord being trampled underfoot to the detriment of people's souls. And he didn't say, oh, I just don't want to offend. He wasn't so charitable to think that everything in the name of God was okay. He goes away. And he makes a whip of cords, and he turned the tables and whipped that cord, cleansing the temple, saying, this shall be a house of prayer, my Father's house. He confronted his family members for not believing. He rebuked loved ones for compromising the truth. This was your a man. And most of all, he went forward to sacrifice his life because he had a love for his spiritual children that drove him. He was so manly. When he went to death for his bride, he became the curse. For what end? That he might present to his Father his bride beautiful, without spot, washed, sanctified by the truth, and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He nourished his bride. He feeds today his body. He cares for his body. When has Christ ever run from us? In fact, he always wants to encourage us with his love. He always has his message preached to us by his through his Spirit. He is faithful in coming for us. He says, I'm always with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. His whole life was given to help and serve and deliver others, all with the goal of glorifying God. And never once did he depart from that responsibility. What a man of God. Now, here's the point today. You may have been abused by an earthly father that did not treat you well. But that's not the design. If we're believers and we're Christians, we are recipients of this kind of love. Here's the thing then. Have you seen what's happened? When we are not men defined for us as Christ has defined it, it's not about position, it's not about authority, it's not about money. When we are not men, if we call ourselves Christians, do you see what we're marring? The very essence of our calling as Christians is to model the love that we have received from Christ in the way that we love one another. And the greatest way, the greatest place we are given to show and model that love is in the home, to our wives and to our families, to our children. That means that when we abandon our roles as men, when we don't lead in the home, when we're not involved in the church, when all of our priorities are wrong, you know what happens? When the household is disintegrated with bad leadership and absent fathers, we attack the very thing we are called to represent. God Himself as a loving, caring Father to us. You wonder why some people grow up and struggle with the whole concept of fatherhood. It's because so-called Christians even have shown nothing of the kind of sacrificial love they are called to show by the paradigm man, the one who did show that love, Jesus Christ. So this is our motivation today as we begin this week. It's the love of the Father to us. It's the love that we've received in the gospel. When we are really changed by that, we can't help but to say, Lord, let us love one another as Christ has loved his church. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.